The Kingdom Chronicles is a prophetic adventure into the secrets of the Kingdom of God. The following teaching is by Alan Smith, entitled Lesson 4, Love Must Exceed Your Message.
This teaching number 4 is speaking about something here. You can see on Lesson 4 at the top there, it says, how can we deliver a true prophetic word? Now, this is what we're after in this teaching here, is how can we deliver a true prophetic word? And in this prophetic word, it is amazing to me how the prophetic today has, it tends to lose its place in the church. People at times don't take it very seriously. And one reason is, I think we get it in our heads that our message is what it's all about. Well, the message is important, but what good is the message if it's not received, right? So the message must be received. And so what this teaching will do is we'll see about how we can deliver a true prophetic word. And then the next thing is, what is the spiritual foundation upon which a true word is birthed? On what a true word is birthed. So we're wanting to look at it, to deliver a true prophetic word. And then I'm going to show you how it's birthed and how it comes forth. The next thing is, what was Jesus' secret of the kingdom that caused his messages to penetrate what? To penetrate the heart. Now, your message is not to penetrate the head. It's to penetrate what? The heart. It's amazing how when we speak and we get a word from the Lord's speaking and he has a lot of information. And that information is to be delivered to someone's heart, not their head. So, have you heard it said before, this is kind of heart to heart? If it's not out of your heart, it's not going to another's heart. If you're into debate, and if you're in any type of situation of debating, I've already taught you on being competitive and being creative. You remember that teaching? A competitive nature, what it does is it's always trying to compete through the head knowledge. But a true prophetic word and a true prophetic people is dealing with what? Is dealing with the heart. So Jesus' secret of the kingdom causes his message to penetrate the heart. Here's what we're looking for. How does it penetrate the heart? Love must what? Exceed the message. In other words, if you're going to speak heart to heart, the love out of your heart has to exceed or be greater than the message you're giving. Now, if you really think your message is your claim to fame, you need to stay at home. The Bible does not say that I'll know them by how much they know. I'll know them how. It's because we love one another. Why does God want us to love one another? It's so that we can communicate between each other his messages. Now, if you're going to be a people of the Spirit, you've got to master being a people of the love of God. Because the love of God is the spiritual plane in which his messages are given. So, if you want to be in the Spirit, if you want to hear for Kenya, if you want to hear for a particular city, if you want to hear for a church, your love has to exceed the message that you're going to give. If you have a message for someone and you'll start feeling their pain. You'll feel it. You'll sense it. And all of a sudden the imagery comes, the impressions come, and it's the voice of God. God doesn't give his words to a hard heart. The lack of love. You got to do it all out of your brain. And it'll wear you out. And the rest of us too. In Exodus, it says this. Moses was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant. The what? the Ten Commandments. Now, I'm going to leave it, but I just want to give you that little bit. He received the Ten Commandments. Do you remember the story in the Bible about Esther? Everybody remember that story? All right, you got Jeremiah comes on the scene. Jeremiah says, goes into Israel, and he tells him, he says, if you guys don't repent, God's going to send Babylon in here. He's going to destroy, he's going to take you captive. You remember Jeremiah? And so then what happened? Sure enough, they did not repent. Babylon comes in, totally captures them, takes them back to Babylon. They are there in captivity for 60 years. And at the end of 60 years, there was an invasion of the Persians. They come in and they take over Babylon. So Cyrus the king then said, okay, I'm going to set the Jews free. I want to let them go back to their homeland. The problem is a few of them went back, and a lot of them just hung out in Persia. They kind of liked it. The capital of that was Susa. And so when we get onto the scene that they've been set free, and then all of a sudden, most of them want to stay in Persia. So that sort of sets the stage. There's such an incredible story about how love did what? Exceeded the message. Now here's what I want you to see. You get the book of Esther. The book of Esther is about this spiritual prophetic truth I want to teach you tonight. About your love has got to exceed your message. To get a word from the Lord is not any good if it can't be received. King Asher loved, a love for Esther exceeded what? The message of who? Of Esther. And Esther's love for her people exceeded the message of Haman. You remember the story Haman? And then you got Mordecai. We'll go into that. You may wonder how this applies to your life. Number one, well, have you ever had a word or message for someone? You know, a message that you just knew the person needed, a message that would change their life. Even though your zeal and determinations were real, the message which you delivered only caused the opposite of what was intended. You ever experienced that one? So you're going to take a word, you take it, and you give it, and you thought everybody's going to be so excited about this great message, just to say, they reject you. They reject you and the message. There is a problem. We'll always say, well, they just wouldn't hear the word of the Lord, bless God. Just wouldn't hear the word of the Lord. Well, it might be that you did not understand the spiritual truth that the love that you give it in has to far exceed the message that you're giving. Why was the message not received? Could it be that the message lacked the element of love that it needed to be received? In the story of King Asher and Esther, love was the factor which saved the lives of how many? The whole country. All of them. So let's explore further what came first, the love or the message. Now this is so important. What was the driving force? It is very obvious in the story of Esther that love was the driving force that preceded the message. So when we come up here and we're given prophetic words about Kenya, about Africa, whatever, check the love in your heart. You can speak into this camera or into the microphone. And love is a spiritual phenomena. It's a spiritual phenomena. It comes out of your heart. There's one amazing thing. I had a person last week tell me that, say, Alan, I really think this is the Lord. He said, did you notice God's divine government? I've had people have called me and said, Alan, I can't believe that you'd actually turn people loose with a microphone. Did you let them be? You just turn them loose? I said, yeah. You see, when the Holy Spirit of God, when He's here, there's a divine government. Everybody respects each other. Everybody respects God. You're following the Holy Ghost. We don't have anybody trying to be a showboat. We're too scared. Amen? You ever read Acts 2, 3, and 4? This is serious business. When the Holy Ghost comes, it's serious business. God has His divine government. And the people of God can feel it. You can sense it. Respect each other. Respect the microphone. You can feel it. You don't have to monitor that. Because God's on the scene. He's monitoring it. Amen? So that's the divine government of God that comes out of the love of God that people have for God and His people. So love's a driving force. But what if the message had come first? Would it then have been received? Probably not. Love for someone is like a bank account from which a message will do what? Makes a deposit and it makes a withdrawal. Now here's the way it works. Through the day, through the week, you must prepare yourself to be here on Saturday night. And when you prepare yourself to be here, you're doing something. You're loving God's people. You're loving someone. So when we get on Saturday night, it's just an overflow of what you've been practicing. Here's Esther. In this story, a beautiful woman named Esther was a Jew who found herself in the king's court as his wife and his queen. Esther found favor where? In the heart of the king. Is favor important? Absolutely. Favor is very important. So we see there were other Jews there, but for some reason Esther found favor and God used Esther. Did Esther's love exceed her message? Yes. Her beauty and her humility won his attention and what? Won his attention. So she had beauty, but she had humility. Here's Haman. He was a man in the king's court named Haman. He was very prideful and wanted attention and power for himself. That's one thing about the chronicle time, and the presence of the Lord is here, and we're really seeking his voice. We're not looking for nobody's looking for a showboat or somebody prideful. I mean, I promise you, if you come up here prideful, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. I won't have to say a word. You're going to stick out like a sore thumb. But we check our heart. I'm not trying to scare you, okay? You check your heart. You love God's people. It is truly a very sad thing for a man to allow his life's passions to be so selfishly motivated, but so it was with Haman. He was willing to kill, steal, and destroy on his selfish desires, and they just could not be satisfied. Now, here's Mordecai. He's the cool guy. Mordecai was Esther's stepfather. His name Mordecai. He was hated by Haman because Mordecai would not bow down to him. So what you had is they were there in Persia. You've got Mordecai was the stepfather of Esther. Haman was a big shot with the king. Haman, he would persuade. He was kind of a snake in the grass. And he could get his way with the king, but it was for his own selfish motivations. So in the prophetic, it is very important that we are not a selfish people. This is not the place for selfishness. This is not where you work that out. You won't already have that worked out, that this is not the place for selfishness. For this reason, Haman persuaded the king to let him kill Mordecai and all of the Jews in the kingdom. Queen Esther was of Jewish descent, but no one in the king's court knew this except Mordecai. Here's Esther's love. Esther loved her, what does it say? Her people with much, very much, and she could not bear the sentence that Haman had decreed upon them. Watch the story. How long has it been since you read the book of Esther? I want to ask you this week, if you would, just read the short book of Esther in light of this teaching. Because this teaching, I think, is one of the missed elements of the prophetic voice. I think it's one of the missed elements about the love exceeding the message. She knew she must petition the king on behalf of who? So here's a key. Esther found favor, but then she did what? She petitioned the king on somebody else. So our job is we want to petition the king on behalf of someone else. So we learn how to petition. Let's read what happened. It's in Esther 5, 1 through 2. 3 days later, Esther put on her royal robes and entered the inner court, just beyond the royal hall of the palace, where the king was sitting upon his royal throne. And when he saw Queen Esther standing there in the inner court, he welcomed her and holding out his golden scepter to her. Esther, we see, is a type of the church. She's a type of us. We, like Esther, are to enter into the inner court of the King Jesus and make a request. So when I give you like a paper, like a ministry, or we're looking for an international word or a national, what I am saying is I'm asking you to go before the King and petition Him on behalf of someone else. Now, you might think God likes to talk to you about you, but He really likes to talk to you about others. He really does. Now, we have been clothed with royal robes that have been provided for us by the King Himself. It's in Galatians. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have what? Clothed yourselves with who? With Christ. Is it your righteousness? No. It's not your. You could have had a bad week and a bad day. It's okay. Come in here, put on your royal robes. His name's Jesus. Listen, Esther did not provide her own covering and clothes. They were provided for her by the King. The only thing she had to do was receive them and put them on. You say, well, Alan, I don't feel worthy. Esther didn't either. Have you not caught on yet? We're not worthy. We've just been chosen. So we put it on. We put on Christ. Here's preparation to enter. Esther contributed nothing in her preparation to meet the King other than receive what the King had already provided for her. That might sound like just a little cliche or a sentence that doesn't mean much, but I hope you can feel the spiritual tension, the spiritual weight of that statement. To put on Christ. When the Apostle Paul said that, he wasn't just making it up. We're not worthy. We come in here and worship. I could feel tonight there's a lot of unworthiness. People felt unworthy. But there was also a holy hush and a peace. There was a lot of prophetic going on in here tonight. It's amazing how, you know, the worship tonight, it was really conducive to the prophetic voice of the Spirit. She then boldly entered into the inner court and spoke as follows. If it please your majesty, I want you and Haman to come to a banquet I have prepared for you today. I like to pray that way. I say, Lord, if it pleases you, would you let me hear, speak to me on behalf of Africa? Lord, if it pleases you, speak to me about Kenya. Lord, if it pleases you. So we can see from the scriptures what it does. I don't know if it does much for God, but it does a lot for me because I feel like I'm petitioning the Lord. Lord, if it pleases you. Esther's humility. In this scripture, we see that Esther was always considerate of the King and assumed nothing. If there's anything that we've lost in the Church of Jesus Christ today, it's manners for each other. It's love for each other. We're not considering each other anymore. The Bible says we're to consider each other higher than ourselves. We're quick to criticize or to correct. Not much time to just be. See, you got to be before you can do. You got to be what you're going to be before you can do what you're going to do. So we just want you to come here and be. Then you can do. Amen? Her request was that of love first and then what? Then what? Then the message. And she was more considerate of the King than the message. There was such a great love in the heart of the King for who? For Esther. Now that's a pretty good thing. Esther had the deck stacked in her favor. The King was crazy about her. He loved her. Listen, the deck stacked in our favor. God loves us. He really loves us. He provided you the robe to put on. You're covered. Don't debate if you want to be covered. Don't go around saying you're unworthy. Everybody knows that. That's Christianity 101. But we're leaving that and we're going to put on Christ on this covering. And then we're going to step out into the inner court. And we're going to say, Lord, if it pleases you, I come before you boldly. But if it pleases you. He knew that no matter what the request was, he would give her what? All that he had. It's hard to believe, isn't it? The King is the same with Jesus. Jesus loves you and me so much that He has given all that He has for us. He has given us His life and His kingdom too. Now let's read what the King said to Esther. During the wine course, the King said to Esther, "Now tell me what you really want and I will give it to you, even if it is what?" What has Jesus said to you? Give me some scripture. What has He said to you about the kingdom? He's given what? Keys to the kingdom? What else about the kingdom? Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness and? Esther got half. Come on. We got it all. Esther got a half measure, we got a whole measure. Could it be that we don't realize that? Could it be that it's there? The King's love for Esther was unbelievable, and so is God's love for you and for me. God's love did what? Now I want you to get this. God's love has exceeded His own message. God's message required for man to live a what? A perfect life. After the fall of man in the garden, the perfect life was an impossible dream. God's love for His creation far exceeded His own message of what? Perfection. Isn't that amazing? Because God's love exceeded His own message, He sent His Son to live the perfect life for us. Could it be important that your love needs to be to exceed your message? It might be important. God's love exceeded His own message. When you receive His love, the message that He required is what? Now, do you see that? When you receive the love of God, the message of God has been fulfilled. You don't fulfill the message by getting the message. I'm hoping you're seeing it, prophetic people. The love of God is where the prophetic word is hidden. The love of God is laced. It's not deadly, it's lively. The love of God is laced with a spiritual message. And it is counted unto you as perfection. It's not the message. It comes through the love. Are you getting it? You have to catch it. I can't teach it. You got to catch it. The love of God has been laced with the Spirit of God. It's through that laced Spirit love of God that the message is empowered. It's all about the love. There's many messages. God's love far exceeded His message of what? There's nothing that you have done nor nothing more that you can do to be received by the King. Just accept His invitation of love to come unto Him. He has already completed perfection through who? Through His Son. God's love exceeded what? His own message. Here's His message. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, what? The Ten Commandments. That's God's message. But His love far exceeded it. Now, prophetic people, this is very important. What we're after is the love of God. It is hidden in the love of God, the power of the Spirit, that ignites the words from God. Now hear me closely. The words from God will not be offensive to His own love. The words from God bring life, not death. The words of God are a reflection of the love of God. Do you want to give a true prophetic word that can change somebody's heart and life, even a country? I've just given you the key. If you can get it, I've just given you the key. Your love's got to exceed your message, because hidden, it's a secret of the kingdom. Hidden within God's love is that supernatural spiritual power that empowers the words. You could say the words backwards and they'll still work if they're with the love of God. Are you with me? It's all about the love of God. Just receive His love today. For His love for you is greater than His own message of perfection. He really does care about you. If you're given a word to somebody, just check yourself. It's amazing to me how many prophetic words are corrected. Well, you need to do this. Well, if you don't do this, God's going to do this. Everybody's wanting to correct somebody. Here's the problem. That message has already been fulfilled because God's love exceeds that message. So there's some other messages that God's wanting to give. Are you with me? And these messages are a liken unto His love. His love will heal all things. Now let's take a look at a woman who received His healing love. Just touch Him. He is waiting to touch you with His love. It's in Matthew. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind Him and touched the edge of His cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touched His cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," He said, "for your faith has what? Has healed you." And the woman was what? Was healed from that very moment. Without even speaking, the love of Jesus is what? The love of Jesus did what? You see, she just touched His garment. The love of Jesus did the work without the message. Isn't that amazing? So where's the power hidden? In the message or the love? It's hidden in the love. The woman pursued Him to just touch the hem of His garment. He told her that her faith had made her whole. But don't you wonder, if His love so flowed from Him, then that was the reason she sought after Him, to touch the hem of His garment. She sought after what? Sought after what? She sought after His love. People of God, others will seek after the love of God that's in you. Make no mistake about it. It's a spiritual drawing. It'll just draw stuff. It'll draw people that are sick. It'll draw people that's hurting. It'll draw all kinds of people. Why does it draw it? It's the love of God. It's that power that will draw people. She was drawn to His love. She had faith that His love would flow through His garments into to her body. His love exceeded any message He could have spoken. This had to be true for Jesus everywhere. He went, and with everyone He touched. His love so exceeds His message of hope and peace and joy for our todays and our tomorrows. His love is everything we need now and always. I'm going to close with this little proverb. There once was a man in a spiritual canoe floating upon a spiritual river carrying a spiritual message. The river was much bigger than the canoe, and the canoe was much bigger than the message. But the message was much deeper than them all. Amen. I hope that you can get this teaching tonight. The love of God far exceeds your message. Now, if you will take to heart what I just taught you, I promise you that the prophetic will so start rolling in your heart and in your spirit, you'll have to ask the Lord to please give you time to sleep. You'll say, "Lord, can we slow this down just a little bit?" And then don't be surprised at 3 o'clock if He isn't knocking on your door and He wants to speak some more. Just check the love of God. One way you can tell if you're flowing in the love of God, let me give you a little hint. Your tears will be right here. You're not far from your tears. You just can't help it. When you're close to the love of God, the tears are just, in just a split second, they're just right there with you. Have you ever had a period of time, like I have had several people say to me before, and they're in this place, and it's like I just been crying for 4 months. For 3 months, I just like to cry all the time. Well, listen, this is a place that you do not need to be ashamed of your tears. This is a place that your tears are going to be part of you. It just can't help it.